She was moving before she realized it, compelled by something in his voice. His hover chair turned and slid between the tables. Brunn followed.
Hey, Sam!
He turned his head slightly. He could not, Brunn realized, turn it all the way, and raised a hand but did not answer. Brunn followed him and found a half booth, enclosing bench and table, with space on the other side for his hover chair.
Sit.
He looked over his shoulder to a waitress.
Get us a pair of Stenners and some chips.
His gaze returned to Brunn, as disturbing as ever.
Oh, I'm not really...
That much I know already, but let's see what you are.
He ticked off points with a stubby finger that looked as if it had been badly molded of plastic.
You're Thornbuckle's daughter, according to your credit chip, and according to the class list over there, you're Brunn Meager, choosing to use your mother's family name. Talking of assassination attempts.
Brunn noted the plural and wondered how he knew.
By your instructor's reports, physically agile and strong, bright as a new pin, quick learner, gifted with luck in emergencies. Also emotionally labile, argumentative, arrogant, stubborn, willful, difficult. Not officer material, at least not without a lot of remedial work.
Brunn knew her face showed her reaction to that.
And why not?
You're not fleet. No one in your bloodline's been fleet for over 240 years. You come from a class where social skills are expected in a normal person your age. Yet you come into a fleet bar.
There's nothing but fleet bars in Q-Town.
And not only a fleet bar, a bar with special connotations, even for fleet personnel. Not all of them will come here. Not all of them are welcome here. I've seen kids with what you would call no social background at all come through the door and recognize in one breath that they don't belong here. Which makes me wonder, Brunhilde Charlotte Meager, about someone like you not noticing.
Brunn glared at him. He gazed back, a look neither inviting nor hostile, just looking, as if she were an interesting piece of machinery. That look didn't deserve an answer, even if she had one. She didn't know why she'd ducked into this doorway instead of another. It was handy. She'd wanted a drink. When the thought of a drink and a doorway offering drinks overlapped, she went in. Put that way, it didn't sound as if she were thinking straight. But she didn't want to think about that. Not here. Not now.
You know, we've got security vid outside. When your cube ID popped up on my screen, I ran back the loop. You were stalking along the street like someone with a serious grievance. Then you hitched a step and turned in here with just a glance at the sign. Anyone tell you about this place?
No. I was given a list of places that cater to various specialties, mostly sexual. They have a code of light patterns in the windows, the briefing cube said. Anything else was, well, general entertainment.
Mm-hmm. So just as it seemed on the vid, you were in a rage. Thought of getting a drink and turned into the first bar you saw. Really high-quality thinking for someone of your tested intelligence.
Even smart people can get mad.
Even smart people can get stupid. You're supposed to have a security escort at all times, right? And where are they?
There.
She wanted to say a royal pain, but knew this man would think that childish.
Back at the schools, I suppose.
You sneaked out.
Yes. I wanted a bit
of... Time to yourself, yes. And so you risk not only your own life, which is your right as an adult, but you risk their safety and their professional future because you wanted a little time off. Do you think your assassin is taking time off? Time to have a little relaxation?
Brunn had not thought about her assassin any more than she could help. She had certainly not thought about whether an assassin kept the same hours as a target.
I don't know.
Or what will happen to your guards if you get killed while they're not with you.
I got away from them. It wouldn't be their fault.
Morally, no. Professionally, yes. It is their job to guard you whether you cooperate or not. If you elude them and are killed, they'll be blamed. So, you got mad and barged in here, ordered, started looking around, noticed the decor.
Yes. Pieces of ships. It's morbid.
Now that young lady is where you're wrong.
It is. What's the point of keeping bits of dead ships and putting people's names on them, if not morbid fascination with death?
Look at me.
Startled, Brunn complied.
Really? Look.
He moved the hover chair back a little and pointed to his legs, which ended at what would have been mid-thigh. Brunn looked, unwillingly but carefully, and saw more and more signs of old and serious injury.
No regen tanks on an escort. It's too small. A buddy stuffed me in an escape pod, and when old Cutlass was blown, I was safely away. By the time I was picked up, there was no way to regrow the legs. Or the arm, though I chose a good prosthesis there. They'd have given me prosthetic legs, too, but I had enough spinal damage that I couldn't manage them. Now, the head injuries.
He dipped his head, showing Brunn the scars that laced his head.
Those were from another battle, back on Pelion, when part of a casing spalled off and sliced me up.
He grinned at her, and she saw the distortion of one side of his mouth.
Now, you, young lady, you don't have a clue what using part of Cutlass's hull as my bar means to me, or to any of the men and women who come here. What it means to have crockery from Paradox and Emerald City and Wildcat, to have cutlery from Defense and Granicus and Lancaster, to have everything in this place made of the remnants of ships we served on, fought on, and survived.
I still think it's morbid.
You ever killed anyone?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have.
Tell me about it.
She could not believe this conversation. Tell him about the island, about Lupescu? But his eyes waited, and his scars, and his assumptions about her ignorance.
We, some friends and I, had taken an air car to an island on Cerealis. It's a planet my father owns.
She didn't like the sound of that now. She wasn't boasting, but it sounded like it. He didn't react.
We didn't know that there were intruders. A man, he was a fleet officer.
Who?
Admiral Lupescu.
Brunn thought she saw a reaction flicker across that scarred face, but she couldn't tell.
He and some friends, at least I was told they were friends, had transported criminals. Well, not really criminals, but that's what they said.
He shifted, with impatience she could almost feel.
Anyway, he and his friends transported these people to the island to hunt. To hunt them, the supposed criminals. Lupescu and his friends stayed on a nearby island, which had a fishing lodge on it, and they flew over every day to hunt. The hunted had cobbled together some kind of weapon and shot down our air car, thinking we were Lupescu. They captured us. When they realized their mistake, we realized that we could all be hunted, and Lupescu would try to cover up his crimes.
And no one knew he was on this planet?
Dad found out later that one of his station commanders had been bribed. There was so much traffic in the system, it was the height of hunting season with lots of guests coming and going, that the others had not noticed an extra ship at one station.
Aha. Go on.
So, Rafa and I went off to an old hideout I remembered from childhood.
Brunn felt herself tense, felt the fine sweat springing out on her skin. She didn't like thinking about that night or the next days. She rattled through the story as fast as possible, how she and Rafa had each killed one of the intruders and acquired their weapons, the discovery that the intruders had poisoned the water, their flight to the cave, and the final confrontation in the cave when Lupescu had been killed by Harris Serrano. The man's expression changed at the mention of Serrano.
So, you yourself actually killed someone who was trying to kill you?
Yes.
And did you enjoy it?
No.
You were scared?
Of course I was scared. I'm not a military freak.
Militaristic crazy?
Brunn stared. Mind reading was supposed to be impossible.
I do wish that somewhere in history people would quit diminishing courage and military personnel by assuming that they aren't subject to normal emotions.
Lupescu didn't seem to have any.
Lupescu was a serious problem. He damn near ruined the Serrano family through Harris. He was probably responsible for more deaths than the enemy in any engagement he had to do with. But he was hardly typical. Even in his own family, there are good officers. Not that any of them will have a career now.
He took a long swallow of his ale, then put the mug down and gave her another straight look.
So, back to you. What put you in a rage?
An argument.
With whom?
Esme Sweezer. She was like you. She thinks I'm just a spoiled rich girl helling around the universe having fun. She had the nerve, the gall, to tell me I have no moral structure to my life.
Do you?
Of course I do.
What then do you conceive as the purpose of your life? What is it that you do to justify your existence? What are you here for?
Put that way, Brunn found the answers that floated into her mind clearly inadequate. She was her father's daughter. She existed to be her father's daughter. No, she didn't want to be just her father's daughter, but she had found nothing else.
I've helped people.
That's nice. Most people have at one time or another. You saved your friend's life on that island. Now that's a point for you. Is that your mission? Saving people's lives by killing those who want to kill them? If so, I must say you're woefully undertrained for that and overtrained for other things.
I don't know.
You're in your mid-20s now, right? You know, by your age, most people without your advantages are showing more sense of direction than you. Consider the officer you quarreled with. By your age, she had chosen a profession, left home against some resistance to pursue it, and performed capably in her choice. She was not flitting around having adventures.
Just because I'm rich.
Oh, don't try that one on me. It has nothing to do with your wealth. Your father, for instance, shows every sign of being an honorable, hard-working man whose services to the Familias and his own family is his mission. Your sister Clemmy, even before she was married, had chosen to work in an area of medicine where her skills and ability actually served someone else. You, on the other hand, while willing to help out friends, have no consistent direction in your life.
Yes, but...
So I would say Lieutenant Sweezer has the right of it. You are a fine lady, Brunmeager, but you aren't anything else. And someday, if you haven't developed the spiritual muscle, you're going to find yourself in a situation you can't handle and with no tools at all to deal with it.
Brunn glared at him, unable to think of anything to say.
All of us here have been in those situations. Brains aren't enough. Physical strength isn't enough. Life will throw things at you that brains and strength can't deal with. Smart people and strong people can both go crazy, or worse, go bad like Lupescu, convinced that whatever they want must be acceptable, or should be acceptable. There must be spiritual strength.
And you think I don't have any?
That's not for me to say. I would have to say you haven't shown any yet. You haven't shown any ability to see yourself as you really are, for instance. And self-examination is one good clue to an individual's spiritual state. You have the capacity, certainly. Anyone does. But you haven't developed it.
Brunn drained the rest of her mug of Stenner.
I think you don't know what you're talking about. You haven't any idea what my life has been like, or what I've done. Nor does your wonderful Lieutenant Sweezer. You think being rich had nothing to do with it? Well, let me tell you something. The rich learn early on that you can't trust anyone, anyone but the other rich. And you fleet people are just the same. You don't trust anyone who's not born to fleet. Nothing I did would ever have made any difference. You all decided that I was just a spoiled rich girl from day one, and there was no hope of ever changing your minds. What passes for your minds?
Brunn pushed herself away from the table and made her way outside, carefully not meeting anyone's eyes. She had had it. There was no way to do what she wanted to do as long as no one would give her a fair chance. She would leave Copper Mountain. She would figure out for herself what she needed.
The Serrano Legacy, Rules of Engagement, is continued on the next CD.